Dharma Talks by Mogik Sayadaw. 5th to the 6th of May 1962. Wavering and Not Wavering. These two Dharma talks were based on Channavada Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya, MN 144. In the Dharma audience, Sayadaw mentioned two laymen in these talks were interesting for contemplation. The first layman was Yu Lying, an old man with age over 80, a gem merchant of Mogik City. He met Sayadaw at the age of over 50 in Mogik. This was Sayadaw's early years there. He used to listen Sayadaw's Dharma talks, but not practiced and busied with his gem business. At the time when he was getting old and came to Sayadaw for practice, but could not discern Anicca even though working very hard every day for 4 and 5 hours. The second layman won Yuong San Wai with age over 60 from Rangoon. He was a politician and held a minister post in the government before. Now he retired and came to practice with Sayadaw in Amarapura city in 1961. After the Vassa in Amarapura, Sayadaw continued his teaching in Mogik, and he followed with Sayadaw there and continued his practice. It seemed that he had some success, which is related to some of Sayadaw's remarks in some of his talks. The third person whom I want to mention was not in this audience, because it is worthy to mention him for inspiration. Another important factor is the Dharma power of Sayadawji's Dharma talks, which has strong effect on Buddhists in the study and practice of the Buddha Dharma. I can give a lot of evidence on the lives of others. This man was Yu Tin, a politician and from Chinese origin. He first met Sayadaw in 1962 when Sayadaw went to Rangoon for the Agamahapadita title and Dharma teaching there. At that time, he was only 39 years of age. Sayadaw stayed only a week in Rangoon for teaching and went back to Amarapura for his last Vassa in life. It seemed Yu Tin followed Sayadaw to Amarapura for practice, because we often heard his name in most of the talks which has given at this period and until the last day of Sayadawji's life in the biography. He might be the last disciple of Sayadaw and very close to him in this short period. At the age of 50 in the year of 1975, he entered the Buddhist monk order. His lay sponsors were Yu Tan Daing, Yuong Qi and Yu Than Mong, who were close disciples of Sayadaw. His ordained name was Ven. Dharmasara and later well known as Sin Pyu Kyun Sayadaw, the monk from the White Elephant Island. He was one of the senior meditation teachers of Mogik Meditation Center and sometime gave some teachings in the West. He passed away peacefully in 1998 at the age of 75 at his monastery in White Elephant Island. The following information came from the video record of his funeral. Sayadaw knew his death beforehand and wrote his wishes on a paper and left behind him. His requests were, do not keep his body more than 7 days. Cremate it after 3 days if it is possible. After the cremation, it's no need to invite monks for the transference of merit. This ceremony was done by all Buddhists for the dead person because of not sure about his, her rebirth. After the cremation, pour the ashes into the Irrawaddy River. This is the major river in Burma and it flows from the north to the south. White Elephant Island is situated at the west side of the river. After Sayadaw passed away, the body was not decomposed and smelled. His complexion was yellow bright and the whole body was soft and pliable. It was like the same as 14 years old Mogik Yogi Ma H.H. Tong. The body was cremated at an open large field with firewood. After a while the body flesh was burnt down and the bones exposed with the heart still intact. Someone poked the heart with a pointed bamboo stick and the blood flowed out like a waterfall. After the cremation, people found body relics, sarira, in the ashes, bones and teeth relics. There was no separated, rounded relics. Some rounded relics were oozing out from the fragments of bone and teeth. These points described Sayadaw's practice as incompletion at not very long time ago, so that it had not enough time to change completely. At last the ashes were poured into Irrawaddy River and it floated and carried away by the river towards the sea and disappeared. Sayadaw's ordained name was Dharmasara, which means the core or substance or essence of Dharma. He found the essence of Dharma directly in his Kanda, the Four Noble Truths and the Nibbana Dhatu. The core of Dharma was handed down from the Buddha up to the present generation. The core of Dharma still exists. Buddhists should not miss the chance. Closing square bracket. Ven. Channa had taken himself as Arahant before he killed himself. Therefore, Ven. Sariputta was checking his view by questioning him. The question was, do you take physical form, aram, aramana, sensitivity of the eye, vara, and eye-seeing consciousness as me and mine? His asking was, did he still cling to them with craving, conceit and wrong view, tana, mana, ditthi? Channa answered that he has contemplated them and seen their impermanence and there is no tana, mana, ditthi arisen. This was only inside knowledge and not the path knowledge yet. His answer was seeing impermanence. It was still at the stage of rise and fall. I will teach you the practice. Whenever something arises, you must discern it's not existing. Channa's view was vipassana knowledge, but he took it as the path knowledge. Therefore, by killing himself would not get another birth, jati. Then, Mahakunda came in and told him as the Buddha has taught, there is wavering in one who is dependent, there is no wavering in one who is independent. Channa couldn't bear his painful feelings, physical and mental. It meant he was still under the affection of his own kanda. The mind is wavering if someone depends on the kanda with craving and wrong view. With the changing of the kanda, the mind wavers. Only with the death of the troublesome craving, the mind will not waver. Letters, telegrams will disappear if people's mind does not waver. When receiving of letters, their minds are wavering with gladness of tana and no letters it wavers with anger. Have you ever had a time when you didn't waver? Sayadaw mentioned some of them in life. It will be wavered without the equanimous mind, apekka citta. Even after the death of someone, it is still wavering. So, it is not necessary to say when it is still alive. Therefore, your wavered species. It did not mean a monkey species which evolutionist and anthropologist thought, but more than a monkey's mind which other types of beings do not have. Wavering is not a good thing. It'll lead to tana, upadana and kamabhava if wavering with lobha. With dosa it'll lead to soka, parideva, etc. With moha it'll lead to avidya, sankara, etc. See 12 links of D. A. Process, with more moving, wavering, is more sinking downwards to the four apayas. It was like a swamp or deep mire. In this talk Sayadaw sometime asked questions to the audience, and he laughed heartily. These wisdom or wise remarks were humorous and about man nature. Ariyas were not wavering. At the time of laying down their kandas, the chief and great disciples went to the Buddha and informed him. Mahamoggallana was beaten to death by the bandits. Did the Buddha and Arahants are shaking? It must sink with more moving, wavering, or swept away by tana water. Your mind will not move only with the practice. Tomorrow I will give the instruction. The dependent co-arising process of connection is the wavering of the mind. Then, Channa killed himself with a razor knife after Sariputta and his brother were left. He was seeing the sign of mental image. If he was Arahant, would not see it. Instead, he must see Nibbana, i.e., would not see any sign of mental image. Sayadaw mentioned some mental images of a dying person. The Buddha had lived for 45 vasas or years as a Buddha. He reminded the monks 1792 times for the practice and did not become remorseful at near death. Taking joy in pleasure now has to be shed tears near death. Only the path knowledge can give us help. Mentioned terrible situation during the dying process. The periods of having the sharp mind and physical fitness are very important, i.e., at young age for the practice. Here Sayadaw gave the very good example with the old disciple Yu Lang who was in the audience. With the age of 85 or 86 years, his mind is in the state of confusion. He can't discern the vibrations of his candor. This is overwhelmed by ignorance, avidya or moha. Even though he is working, practicing, for 4 to 5 hours, he does not know about the candor teaching. His candor is calling him, ahipasako, so he has to follow with sandatiko, but he does not hear the calling. This is called ignorance or delusion. He met Fongyi, in Burmese another usage for Sayadaw, at the age of over 50 and had listened to my talks then, but he decided to practice later. In this way he wasted a lot of his time and chances. It was a great loss. Isn't it? Therefore, you all have to practice now. We always need to pay heed the teachings and sayings of the wise and sages. The child yogi Ma Htong's life was a good example. Then, Channa saw its mental image and instantly changed it quickly with the practice and became an Arahant at near death. He succeeded because he already has the momentum of the Vipassana knowledge. But here again Sayadaw mentioned on the layman Yuong San Wai, who was in the audience. Yuong San Wai had used his time as a government minister before. It wouldn't have taken the result very long if he had practiced it earlier before. Now he is practicing with the effort and it doesn't take very long to achieve it. It seemed to be Yuong San Wai had succeeded in his practice, because after Sayadaw passed away, Yu Tan Daring established a meditation center in the heart of Rangoon and propagated the Dharma of Sayadaw's talks. Yuong San Wai became the first chairman of the center. Some persons without knowledge of Dharma talked to people like a teacher and foolish persons followed their advice. This referred to the people encouraged others to waste their time with worldly matters instead of Dharma. Don't have the wrong intention of I'll do it later. Mentioned the rarity of human births by comparing with insects. You must do it urgently. You have wasted your valuable time from the order of Tanner. You all are misusing the time. With the bigger Tanner comes bigger wok, hellfire big iron cauldron depicted in hell scene. These are dharmas, extension of samsara, i.e., Tanner, Mana and Dithi, your left behind others is not important, but fall into a pyre is very bad indeed. You're not afraid of falling into hell, instead afraid of lagging behind others, American syndrome, wrong competitions. It's better if you finish the practice now. If not possible, you can finish it at near death. It has the benefit. Then, Channa's experience supported the need of developing the habitual vipassana kamma, asanaka kamma. The greatest fault is after this life and taking rebirth in next life. This was the exhortation of the Buddha. Whatever Dharma is arising, following behind it with the knowing of it's not there, etc. i.e., anicca or the not existing of the arising Dharma. Note, in these talks Sayadaw expressed his concern and compassion for his disciples, reminded him again and again for the practice. These talks were giving in Mogik and his last visit here. His last talk in Mandalay was on the 9th of April 1962 and continued the Dharma duty in Mogik. In Mogik he started the teaching on the 16th of April 1962 to the 1st of July 1962. During these periods of Dharma talks here were quite different from others before, mentioned a lot on death and Samvega, not to be in heedlessness and wasting time. It seemed to be he sometime using his mind-reading ability to teach the disciples. The following four events related to it. The first event. His first teaching in Mogik on the 16th of April 1962 was based on Mahasaropama Sutta of Majjhima Nikaya, Discourse on the Simile of Heartwood. MN 29, starting of the talk after 15 minutes, Sayadaw scolded some of the disciples very strongly out of the blue because their minds were in other places. It had never happened before. This talk content was. Sayadaw mentioned dukkha inside the mother's womb. It starts from dukkha sakka. After it comes out, it is living with jara dukkha sakka, aging. Again, the kanda is going towards sickness, illness. From here it's continued towards greater dukkha sakka of dying and death. Again, it will return to dukkha sakka if you don't practice. Therefore, I have to tell you looking for the liberation of dukkha. Only by knowing dukkha, you want to be free from it. This kanda is changing and perishing moment to moment. It has to be in the state of moment to moment conditioning. When observe with knowledge its moment-to-moment vanishing is dukkha sakka. Therefore, the kanda we got it by prayers was dukkha sakka. Have affection on dukkha is not knowing about it. I have to talk you until you know about this knowledge. You have to contemplate until you see it. Your two eyes will get the light if you discern it, without it still not yet. Your eyes still not get the light until you discern the falling away and replacing of mind and body which are collapsing in blips. It's born as blind man and died as blind man. Whatever has done by the blind is in mistakes. This is the movement of the blind. From here onwards, read carefully how Sayadaw was scolding his disciples. I am giving you the medicine to open your eyes. It was like a sick dog which saw the master holding the medicine cup and ran away if your minds were going here and there. Do you want your mind running here and there during the talk? Do you think Fong Yi, the monk, is rough? Your mind was not stayed calm. You have to ask yourself, do we have the mind of a sick dog if our mind is running away during the talk? In a blip the mind arrives here and there. It has the mind of a dog. Don't let your mind run to other places. After the scolding, Sayadaw continued his talk as nothing happened before. Contemplate with one's own knowledge, nana, on the one's own kanda of consciousness, i.e., contemplation on the mind consciousness. Here consciousness is pre-nascence condition, pure jatapakayo, and first arises. The contemplative mind or knowledge, nana, is post-nascence condition, pakajatapakayo, and follows after. Impermanent is preceding first knowledge is following after. It's good if nothing comes in between them. Let impermanence and magga, nana, fit together. Impermanence is one's dukkha and magga is nana. One's knowledge sees one's dukkha. We see dukkha sakka with the eye of the magunga, path factor eye. This is seeing one's own death. You have seen other people's corpses before, but not your own. You see your own death with the five eyes, magangas. This is vipassana and not finish yet. Only by seeing nibbana, it will end. You cannot see the truth or three characteristics with the flesh eyes. The Burmese usage is maganai, it's not mamsa kaku. None of the Western philosophers understood what anicca is. Sayadaw was fearless in regard to Dharma. In teaching people Dharma, he spoke to them in according to their nature. With humble people, he spoke gently, and with conceited people, Sayadaw was tough and spoke bluntly. Most of these people had wealth and status in life, and for a teacher, it's not easy to compare him with the animal. The second event. Dorfame Tin's experience. It was happening at the meditation center in Mogi. Dorfame Tin was a laywoman disciple who helped Sayadawji with his needs every time he visited Mogi for teaching. On that day, very early morning, she was cooking rice gruel for Sayadaw, and before 4 a.m. it was ready. It was still not the time for offering, and there was a lot of time to practice. Therefore, she continued the practice by sitting near the stove. It was very quiet and the best time for Dharma contemplation. Suddenly the mind calming down and got samadhi. After that, she had an experience which had never happened before. It was peaceful and cool. At that time Mogik Sayadawji was sitting on a big chair above the Dharma hall. It seemed to be a large two-stories building. It seemed to be he concentrated on something on the chair. A monk who occupied a room above the center had a plan last night. His plan was tomorrow ask Dorfame Tin to wash a mosquito net. Therefore, in the early morning he brought the mosquito net and went to Dorfame Tin. On the way he passed through Sayadaw who spoke to him was, Dorfame Tin has experienced the state of Magga. I.e., path knowledge in Burmese. After hearing what Sayadaw had said the monk went straight to the kitchen where Dorfame Tin was. When he arrived there, she was still in meditation. He asked her in an urgent manner, Dayaka Dorfame Tin, I heard that you have attained the Magga. Dorfame Tin responded to him was, Venerable, I did not say anything to anyone yet. This was a clever answer. The biographer of Mogik Sayadaw's life also did not give the complete answer either. See One Life Sasana by Yu Gosita. The third event. Practicing with wise urgency, Samvega. After receiving the Agamahapadita title, Mogik Sayadaw went back to Amarapura for his last vasa in life, i.e., 1962. In the vasa as usual every day, he gave two talks, one in the morning and the other in the evening. Note: this event happened in Mandalay City. It seemed to be sometime he went there for talks a few days, i.e., not more than 7 days and came back to Amarapura. Another possibility was, Mandalay and Amarapura are very close. Sayadaw could go there and come back by car. After beginning the vasa for a period, a woman who was seriously infected by leprosy came to listen Sayadaw's talks. She came alone and no one with her. The people in this surrounding area had never seen her before. In Uchit Sui Dor Ma Ma Dharma Sala she chose a very distant corner to listen to the talk and practiced there. Sometime the smell of the disease arrived to the crowd, and the flies were encircling her body. What a miserable state. In such a situation, it would affect the crowd and be displeased by people. Therefore, some disciples informed Sayadaw about it. Sayadaw's response was, "This Dayaka has Samvega for her body kamic disease, Vata disease, so she comes here to listen Dharma. She is also doing the practice. She is now at the high level of the practice, but she still has some unclear points that come here for it. After clearing the points, she'll not come anymore. So, all of them decided to neglect about it. After 3 or 4 days for the talks, and she never came back again." Closing square bracket. The fourth event. Don't let your mind running away. Yukyor Thane, one of Sayadaw's closet disciples, became his disciple in 1956. From Mandalay, he went to Amarapura Meditation Center and practiced under Sayadaw's guidance. In the beginning, Sayadaw taught him how to develop samadhi with Anapanasati. He settled in one of the yogi room and doing his Anapanasati. At nighttime, UHLABU was helping Sayadaw for a massage. Sayadaw's room was close to Yukyor Thane. UHLABU was a traditional doctor who had knowledge on Burmese medicines. He was massaging Sayadaw and at the same time discussing medicine with him. Yukyor Thane had interest in their conversation, and he got lost in it. And then suddenly he heard Sayadaw spoke to him. "Mongkyor Thane. Don't let your mind running away. You have to be careful." It came as a surprise for him. After that he did not dare again let his mind running away. Later his samadhi developed and seeing of light. He informed Sayadaw about it. Sayadaw told him not to pay attention for it and let him continue the practice. After his samadhi arrived at the satisfactory level and Sayadaw gave him instruction on insight practice. From this incident we know about two things: Sayadaw's ability to read other people's minds and his way of practice. Sayadaw gave an instructional talk to Yukyor Thane about the five hindrances. There he mentioned some mental states which affected the color of the blood. The blood color changed in accordance with the mental states. Most people justified Sayadaw's way of practice as sukha vipassana, i.e., dry insight, by his talks. It was not true. The instruction to Yukyor Thane supported this point. The other point was Sayadaw had some supernormal powers which could not come from dry insight. Sayadaw's flesh, bone, blood relics, sarira also support this point. Thai forest monks know this very well. The above incident was mentioned by Yukyor Thane himself in a short biography and practice of Mogik Sayadaw. It was a small booklet for free distribution at Sayadawji's funeral in 1963. Dharma Talks by Mogik Sayadaw, the 9th of June 1962. So many excuses. Most Buddhists have so many excuses regarding the practice, i.e., bhavana. The followers of Islam faith are quite inspiring in regard to their practice. This is a very important point we need to learn from them. It is true that the Four Noble Truths or the Middle Way is not an easy path like prayers and vows. This was also one of the reasons for the decline and complete disappearance of Buddhism in India, because instead of following Dharma and Vinaya, some Buddhists were keen to study and think, becoming Buddhist philosophers. Another important point was they postulated new ideas and views into the teaching and became popular Buddhism to compete with popular Hinduism. Most Buddhists will lose the path or way if they do not have the knowledge of Pali Nikayas and maintaining its pure form with the practice, and it might disappear quickly in the future. Sayadaw's following talk was good for contemplation in this case. Closing square bracket. We had missed with those two good noble truths of Nirodha Sakka and Magga Sakka, i.e., the cessation of dukkha and the way to cessation of dukkha, in the whole round of existence, samsara. It had never been a good living of existence, getting an existence without sorrow and death. The noble path is the way free from fear, fright and crying with grief. The reason the Buddha has to fulfill many kinds of perfection in different ways in past lives were for searching the noble path. Only we need to follow behind the way which he had found. It's not necessary for you to give many excuses. Don't be too late for it, because it could be disappeared. This warning reflected the complete disappearance of Buddhism in India. With many new doctrines and views, Buddhists became confused and did not know what the Buddha really taught. We receive the path with ease that don't postpone it for tomorrow or the day after tomorrow, death could overcome you. It can happen to anything, because it's anatta kanda. People who look forward to the future are really quite stupid. For the future is uncertain, the present is known, and the past is a memory. Here Sayadaw explained the four meanings of Magga Sakka and then gave instruction for the practice. Watching and observing the kanda and let us see what it will tell us. What does the kanda have by itself? Sabbe Sankara Anicca, all conditioned phenomena are impermanent. This conditioned kanda is impermanent. It's conditioning by other with arising and passing away. It's important to see its arising here and passing away here. Where does it come from? Where has it gone after passing away? Don't ask this way. It comes from not a seeing place and arises here. It arises here from causes. After passing away, it doesn't go anywhere. It disappears here. You have to watch and observe its arising here and disappearing here. This is the way of Vipassana. It was like a lightning in the sky. This was from the Udana Pali, exclamations of the Buddha. For example, if you take a shower with cold water, every time you pour the water, the warmth disappears and the coldness is arisen. The kanda shape and form will disappear if power of samadhi is mature, and you only see the arising and vanishing. You will only see the disappearance of ultimate phenomena, paramatta dharma. You have to follow wherever it arises on the whole body, i.e., head, body, hands, etc. In the Samyutta Nikaya, the Buddha said that if you looked for nibbana, you would find it in the two-armed length body. The Buddha to Rohitasa Devaputta, SN 2.26 Rohitasa Suttam. It only has the arising dukkha and disappearing dukkha in the kanda. Form, feeling, etc. are in names only. You get the path factors if discerning of impermanence. You only get it by developing the path factors and not by praying and asking. Later Buddhists are doing a lot of praying and asking from the Buddha, and Buddhism becomes only faith religion and no wisdom at all. Therefore, Sayadawji in some of his talks referred to some disciples as like beggars. The developed magga, path factors, is cutting off the basic root of craving. Dharma Talks by Mogik Sayadaw, the 28th of September 1962. The Hidden Nibbana. This is a Dharma talk on Nibbana based on the practice and Patikasamapada, D. A. process. Sayadaw gave quite a few talks on Nibbana. His intention was wanting the yogis to have the right view on Nibbana. With the wrong view, it can be a hindrance for the practice. Most of the references were from the Pali suttas and sometime also referred to the commentary. In the later Buddhist traditions, they used quite a few terms for Nibbana, and their origin could be connected with Indian philosophy and its religion, such as original mind or nature, Buddha nature, non-dualism, etc. The majority of Buddhists have misunderstanding and misinterpretation with Nibbana. Actually, understanding of dukkha is more important than Nibbana. Only by understanding of dukkha we can appreciate Nibbana and want to free from dukkha and will endeavor on the path. Sayadaw's talks are very important for this purpose. Closing square bracket. Your teacher relies on the Dharma according to what the Buddha has taught. Even though you didn't encounter the Buddha, incline your mind on the Buddha and listen to this talk. The Buddha has practiced and know it by himself and taught it to us. Without any doubt, and if you follow and practice, it will free from the three rounds of existence, three vata. The Buddha said that he himself didn't know the four noble truths and, in every life, has to make companions with the dangers of aging, sickness and death. Discerning of the beginning of D.A. process is seeing dukkha sakkha. Discerning of the ending of the process is seeing nirodha sakkha. In this way he became a Buddha. It only has been seen by oneself, it becomes Dittadharma, and finish the practice. Sayadaw was reminding his disciples by making decision with one's knowledge, i.e., referred to Dittadharma. You have to practice and get the knowledge of making your own decision. Where is Nibbana? The answer is, it exists at the end of the Kanda. Therefore, you have to note as the ending of Kanda is Nibbana. In Arunavati Sutta, in Samyutta N, SN 6.14, the ending of Dukkha is Nibbana. People think that Nibbana is far away. It exists here, i.e., referred to the Kanda. The Kanda which you have attained is covering on Nibbana. You will find Nibbana if you get the knowledge which can penetrate it. It exists at the ending of two armed length Kanda. With the Kanda covered on it that not see Nibbana. Form, feeling, sanna, etc. The five Kandas are arising continuously that it'll never end. Without the ending of the five Kandas can't see Nibbana. You can't see it because it's covered by the revolving of Kanda machine. Nibbana arises at the place where covered by the Kandas if the Kandas stop or cut off there. As an example, you're watching at a movie, the motion pictures are always arising there that you can't see the white screen. It's covering by pictures and the background white screen not appears. In the same way it's covered with Kanda's samsara that can't see Nibbana. Dayaka Kaiwe, you can't find it in the Pali texts. He was a regular listener. To a practicing yogi, with a blip, the Kanda ceases, Nibbana appears. Even though Nibbana is near us, the Kanda covers on it that can't see it. Again, you can't see the Kandas because it's covered up with ignorance, avidya. We take the Kandas as man and woman because ignorance covers on it. Therefore, we can't see the Kandas machine revolving one by one with cessation. Because of ignorance, we can't see the arising and passing away of the Kanda. Uncover ignorance with knowledge, vidya, you'll see the Kandas. You'll see the Kandas machine. After with the penetrative knowledge, nana, of impermanence and the knowledge of knowing dukkha arises. At the end of the knowledge of knowing dukkha, Nibbana arises. Nibbana is covered by the Kanda which is also covered by ignorance. There are double covers on it. Two different sizes of boxes can be exemplified. One is small and the other is bigger. A jewel is in a small box and again the small box is inside the bigger one. The bigger one is avidya, the smaller one is Kanda and inside the smaller one is the jewel, i.e., Nibbana. This is my own metaphorical terms for avidya, Kanda and Nibbana, here should not take it directly. If not, we can be mistaken with the concept of the original mind, which is similar to Samkhya philosophy of Kapila, the first cause or root cause. There is no first cause or root cause. Nibbana is not in the Kanda. Sayadaw continued to use the D.A. chart to explain the Dharma process. Did we become man or woman in the past? Don't guess in this way, i.e., wrong thought. Instead think about Dharmas, phenomena, arise in us, right thinking. In past life, we were moving like a double blind man, i.e., the example for avijja right-pointing arrow sankhara, section 1. This was also we had done samadaya sakka, the truth of the cause of dukkha. We had wasted our time in this way as a double blind man. After death in this life, we get section 2, i.e., vinana, namarupa, vedana. We take this as good luck, as human being. It was the falling down of a double blind man from walking, that was dukkha sakka. We get dukkha sakka because it's bad luck. It's the kanda with many kinds of disease, rogato. Is there any time the kanda frees from disease? Sayadaw explained some of them. Nibbana exists at the ending of dukkha. The Dharma for practice is at section 2, vinana, namarupa, etc., i.e., the five khandhas, and if you follow it to the end we'll see it. By knowing section 2 as the five khandhas, and Dithi falls away with the concept. Whatever phenomenon you discern in this section, you know it as dukkha sakka. With this knowledge, ignorance is blown away. Continued to Sittanupassana, mind base, Manayatana, is the mind which extends the round of existence, samsara. Seeing consciousness, hearing consciousness, etc. can arise. It will cut off section 3, Tana, Upadana and Kamabhava, if you discern impermanence of the five khandhas with the path factors, Magunga. If section 4, Jati, Jara, etc. does not arise, the Samadaya, section 3, ceases and Dukkha, section 4, ends. No Kanda in section 4, i.e., Jati, demonstrates Nibbana. There are two Nibbanas appear. Sa Upadasesa Nibbana, Nibbana with residue, or at section 2 still has the mind and body, and Anupadisesa Nibbana, Nibbana without residue, or at section 4 without mind and body. With the attainment of present Nibbana that the result Nibbana is sure. With Nibbana arises in section 2 and the khandhas not arise in section 4. Contemplate the impermanence of seeing consciousness is dukkha sakka and magga sakka. The death of craving, Tanha and not arising of it is Samadaya Sakka and Nirodha Sakka. Whatever mind arises at other sense doors, it also has to be contemplated. Seeing impermanence is Yathabhuta, Nana. The knowledge of seeing it actually is. The ignorance, avidya, which covered on the khandhas is blown away. We can alive only with one mind each that if we can contemplate every mind arises and seeing one's own death. All the deaths are dukkha sakka and all the seeing are magga sakka. This is Dittadharma, seeing dukkha sakka personally. With the continuous contemplation see one's own corpses and become disenchantment with it. Vipassana is seeing the death with the alive mind. Even though you disenchant with it, you still have to contemplate it as before. With the continuous contemplation on disenchantment and the not wanting mind arises. At that time the khandhas will disappear, the whole section 2 disappears. With the disappearance of dukkha sakka and the cessation of dukkha nirodha sakka arise, dukkha nirodho sakka. Seeing Nibbana is Magganana, the path, Noble Eightfold Path. You have to contemplate Dukkha Sakka until it becomes Dukkha Nirodha Sakka, Dukkha ends. Note, in this talk and other talks, we can see Sayadaw's skill and penetrative knowledge on the teaching of dependent co-arising. As the Buddha himself told Ven. Ananda that it was deep and profound. Therefore, some well-known Buddhist scholars, East and West, misinterpreted the 12 links separated into three periods of time, past, present and future, as wrong. Still they had their followers in the East and West. Sayadawji talks can clear away this misinterpretation and misunderstanding. Closing square bracket.